We'll go to Dr. Jack, South Africa, Cape Town.
Yeah, fantastic. Thanks, Sharat. Quick introduction. I did my PhD in AI, machine learning. My whole career, academic career, as well as my business career, is in AI. And when I started, I didn't know it was going to explode like this. So it's fascinating. And also the evolution of AI and Web3 and web as well, the internet, is so fascinating for me. I do think it's a perfect match. I actually wrote a book on democratizing AI to benefit everyone. And I do talk about a decentralized world and AI as part of that, distributed AI, kind of an ecosystem of intelligences, really, if you think about it. But anyway, so I've been a smart technology entrepreneur for probably 2 decades. I sold my first AI company to General Electric in 2011. Then founded Machine Intelligence Institute of Africa, because there was not a lot of capacity here in Africa at that time, in the mid, say, 2015, 16. And since then, things have exploded. And so it's fantastic for me to see. We've also seen the tech giants also coming in and making a difference here. And then I also founded my next generation AI company, Cortex Logic, part of the Cortex AI group. We spun out some AI-driven platform businesses in wellness and mental health. And I'm looking at the next stage is sustainable technology, venture capital, and there's a few other things that I'm involved in, and metaverse things. I'm also on the board with Sharat of Virtual, which is a metaverse company as well. So very excited to be here and looking forward to the discussion.
Yeah, thanks, Jack. You knew AI before AI knew AI. So that's awesome. Let's get started. The other remarkable thing about today's panel is we have 4 women on the panel. So Jack, you're alone, but yeah. I'll try and support you as much as I can. All right.
Thank you.
It's all about women empowerment at onlywebinars.com.
I love right. this. This is fantastic.
So Jack, I'm going to start with you, actually. I'll give you the honor just because you've already authored a book on AI, right? And rightfully, I think this goes to you. So my question is very simple. I've myself been in AI for, let's say, 12, 13 years, and it never really was a big deal, right? AI was AI, and a lot of people were doing it. And then came ChatGPT, I don't know, a couple of months back, and the focus shifted totally from all conversations that were about metaverse, NFTs, Web3, tokenization, DAO. Suddenly, all the oxygen went from all conversations into something called ChatGPT. And now we are expected to speak GPT.
Yeah. Do the prompting right.
Please walk us through why this is a big deal.
Yeah, it's fascinating for me because I published it in 2011 and, 2021. So at that point in time, I've captured quite a bit of the hype already. We could see there's a trajectory in the 2010s with specifically, if you think about DeepMind, some of the breakthrough things that they've been doing. AlphaGo, AlphaZero, all these kind of things. And you can sense with reinforcement learning, things are starting to happen and it's kind of building up momentum. And you also see that all these kind of benchmarks out there in terms of natural language processing, in terms of vision, image, you can look at all these kind of benchmarks. We're actually getting some traction with the same kind of models, neural network type of transformer models. And you can steadily see we're actually making breakthroughs. And it was in the last few years, even though it was maybe not, you couldn't see it with ChatGPT, but ChatGPT made it public. So it obviously exposed what this technology can do. But I was even surprised. I actually talk about the future of AI and where we're going with AI, chapter 9 in my book. I actually talk about the AI debate. And we're talking about narrow AI, AGI, super intelligence, all of those kind of things. I think all of the stuff that I've actually projected there, because I've tried to make sense of this, is in fact true, and it holds still until today. But I'm still surprised by what you can actually, just with scale, what you can actually get with lots of data and compute and with scalability. And if you talk about the number of parameters that can capture the information and patterns. I think it's absolutely amazing. And the fact that there's a little bit of emergent behavior, the fact that it can do some reasoning and things, surprised me a bit as well. But that being said, it's still far away from AGI. I know these articles about sparks of AGI, but we are far from that. But it gives me confidence that we can create human-centric type of AI that can speak in a way that's going to change the game of consumer-facing businesses. And I know there's some, I know Jyoti and there's a few others and there's a lot of businesses actually trying to transform the way humans interact with businesses in terms of products and so forth. So we're going to see a sea of change. It's going to revolutionize things completely. My background history, where we've been applying AI for decades, actually was more in the industrial space. That's why I sold my first AI company to GE. And AI and even traditional machine learning was quite impactful in terms of nonlinear models and increasing throughput, yield, quality. But I think now we see what Amazon and Netflix is doing with recommendation engines and all of those kind of things. But now you're adding this massive generative AI capability, which is just unbelievable, actually. And it fits in nicely with Web3, the creator type of economy that we live in now. So it's going to change the game. I think it's a perfect match. I'm looking forward to the rest of the discussions here. But it's also a dangerous world. My book, I actually talk about we need this, the ethics, the trustworthy AI. We need to be responsible. Now the tech giants and the open AIs that's working with Microsoft and the Googles, they need to be super responsible, because we know even social media was a social experiment with humanity. And by opening this up, we are in danger of also making similar kind of mistakes. So we need wise heads, we need to be smart, we need to be fast with regulation and ethics and those kind of things as well. But anyway, I'm sure we're going to...
Thanks for those insights, Jack. We'll address some of those issues in detail, especially ethics, regulation, etc. But we'll come to that just in a bit. I'm going to go around the room on this one with your take on this pause. Jack, let's go to you. Do you think this pause for 6 months and even, Italy, for example, banning ChatGPT use, where are we going with this?
Yeah, I think it's fascinating. I also put a poll on LinkedIn, got some feedback. Most people thought it was not a good idea. I think other polls as well. But if you look at the Future of Life Institute, and I know Max Textmark also, I've been participating on panels with him. Specifically around lethal autonomous weapons, we realize that's very problematic. So I've got a lot of empathy for the letter and so forth, but I think we need to be pragmatic. So we shouldn't stop and pause research at all, I think, because the solutions could be in the research itself as well, alignment, all of those kind of things, building more robust, trustworthy solutions. Where we need to be careful is when this is let out in the public. If you think about airplanes or cars, the regulations around those kind of things as well. Now, it's like a double-edged sword with ChatGPT. So it's kind of innocent in a certain sense, because it's back to responsible use of this. But I use it every day for so many things. It's making my life productive. I'm using it for proper use cases. But clearly, any powerful technology could be used for bad outcomes and bad actions as well. So you've got to be sensible. But when it touches the public, I think one needs to think about regulation. So and then you need to release it in a way that is responsible. And I think Google is trying to learn some of the lessons here. That's why they're kind of a bit more hesitant in terms of making it available. They're trying to put more guardrails on. Which I think is sensible. I think we're far away still from AGI singularities. Maybe there's different definitions around those kind of things. There's a company called Versus.ai in California. They're talking about an ecosystem of intelligences from first principles and going through 5 stages of intelligence. And the current one is S0, is where we are. And then sentient, then we'll get to AGI, then we can look at sympathetic and maybe shared or superintelligence. I think we're probably going to get there. But in my book, I'm trying to advocate more for that we focus on sorting out humanity first, obviously all living systems and so forth, before we get to AGIs. We need to get to raise our maturity in terms of and responsibility in dealing with technology. I feel we're rushing ahead with technology, but on a wisdom level, we're not there yet as a civilization, as a humanity. And we need to collaborate much better. I feel as humanity, we are very fractionalized. We've got East and West and all the different things, and we are a hyper-connected. I think this is what Web3 is doing as well. And the internet is connecting to civilization, society. So we're hyper-connected. We are in 100 years, 200 years from now, and we'll see if there's going to be still countries or digital countries and how it's going to work. But I think it's going to be more global. We have to respect cultures. It's probably going to be more local, more distributed, more decentralized. I think we're heading in that direction, which is a good thing for me. For me, we need to empower the people. We need to, and it shouldn't be just on utilization. If you think about Google, think about ChatGPT, it's giving utility to people. Now it's empowering people. But you still have the tech giants and some other companies that's monetizing, getting the benefit from the technology. So we from a monetization perspective. So I would love to see a world, and I think this is where AI and Web3 can play a big role here. And in my book, I actually come up with solutions in this regard, where we actually turn it on its head, where we say, with the AI and Web3 solution, and I actually talked about Sapiens as AI-driven platform play user control, we can actually make sure that data and services are monetized of the individuals, and you empower the individuals to get advertising revenue, to know how my data has been utilized, to maybe have digital twins operating in the space, looking after me, helping me with decisions. So, and I think one needs to think about what are we optimizing for? We should be optimizing for quality of life, not just GDP and all of it. So we probably need to re-engineer society, civilization, the economics. So we're in for a lot of changes, and we need to reward people for their positive contributions to society. So probably the whole job market needs to change as well. So I think we're in for wholesome changes. And I can talk a lot more about it.
No, clearly we are living in exciting times with exponential growth all around. All right, great. So now I'm going to go around the room. Yeah, Jacques, you raised your hand.
I just want, in terms of your question to Christina there as well, I think we it's going to be very interesting what people need to learn. And actually in my book, I've got a chapter dedicated to future jobs and skills and things that's needed. And MIT also did an interesting study about the different kind of roles that they foresee, and it's obviously being fast-tracked right now. Clearly, I don't think people, I think it's really good to understand the dynamics, how it actually worked, the technology. So for me, it's obviously great. I've been using programming kind of AI, all the different types of things from in C++ and Python and from scratch, even before the open source era. So it's fine. But I think that where we live now, we need to think about users and functionality. And basically what happened with AI and ChatGPT and these kind of things, it's making it possible for people to communicate more naturally with technology, with systems, with computers. In the past, we had to use keyboards and mouses and stuff like that. Now with natural language processing, the fact that AI is making it easy to communicate, it's changing things. We can now talk about ideas. We can talk about actions. So it's going to be more on that level. Specific to AI, I think there's going to be trainers, and there's going to be people focusing on ethics and those kind of things as well. So because those are things that's part of the nuts and bolts to make sure that it works well. But I think when you say, I agree with you as well, Sherrod, I think human plus AI, this is just part of the 21st century skills. One needs to be agile, and you need to think about how to use the tools. And it's not just AI, it's Web3, it's blockchain, it's all of these kind of technologies. And there's a lot of people that's, and especially Gen Z and so forth, people, young people trying to make a difference and using this. They're excited about this. And I think that should be the attitude. And we should be used to changes. Well, it's fine that there's changes. That should, because change is going to happen every year, every month. And we need to adapt or die effectively.
Yes, absolutely. Jacques, I give you the last word.
Oh, thank you very much. I just want to say thank you to all of you. It resonates. There's so many points that resonate. And I think together we should help shape that better future in the smart technology era. That's part of my massive transformative purpose. That's what I communicate in the book as well. I think AI and Web3 is a perfect match. It, timing is fantastic. I've got two statements here. I think the combining the power of AI and Web3 will redefine this whole digital landscape and will create a decentralized world, which I'm advocating for, where intelligence meets trust. And just think about that. And then secondly, I think what we are seeing here is a new era of decentralized innovation with the creator economies and so forth. We see a transformation of industries, and we're going to see empowering individuals. And that's what I'm advocating for as well in my book. I would love to see AI assisting people, helping them make better quality decisions, and living there and actually help them to optimize their quality of life.
Thank you. Optimize quality of life. That's a great thought.